Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 84 in a series of podcasts. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Chuck.
Donnie.
Adam.
Joe App.
Matt.
And nobody calling in.
I can call in if you want me to talk.
Yeah, hey. Maybe next week Donnie will be calling in, laid up in the hospital bed.
Calling in from
I said I was going to call from the beach, actually, and I never did that.
That's true.
I'll be at the Pens game next two weeks. I can call in from the Pens game.
Calling in from the parking lot.
What? I can't hear you. What? Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be great. So, Joe is chomping at the bit.
That's true.
He has run some statistical analysis on the history of comics.
He did homework.
And... has the exact sales numbers for Action Comics from 1 through 900 and whatever.
Not quite, Colin. Okay. Not quite.
And but he's I did every one of them.
I did take a detailed look at your sales data from 2012 and compared it to the national sales data. So, if you want to take a look at this, I color-coded everything.
That's crap. That's not right. That can't work.
Everything DC in blue, everything Marvel in red. Put your sell-through numbers next to the titles 1 through 250 in your column. And next to that, you will find the national sales data, 1 through 250, with the print runs. Or actually, that's the numbers that Diamond sold. Not the entire print runs. The quantity is there.
Chuck, would you like to look?
Yeah, could you mind sharing?
I was looking through it.
Now, when you went through Colin's information, you found a lot of missing information and shady stuff, right?
Well, you know, there were a couple things missing.
Yeah, I will admit, I did not go... I just sent Joe, I guess, kind of raw data, I guess. Because I did include second prints. Like, I'm looking at Batman. That doesn't include the variant covers, which I normally sell 10 to 15 of. Of, you know, just that second cover that they do. So, like, the Batman numbers are probably going to be a little bit low. Justice League for a while had that second cover. And then when you get into, like, Avengers versus X-Men, that doesn't include second prints. So,
it's still somewhat rough. But yeah. I think the most important one we took care of today, where we got the number one selling comic of the year and tallied up the sell-through numbers from all 8 covers plus the 16 sets you sold plus the chromium covers. And that was
and second prints I included in there too.
And second
and
prints.
Second and third, yeah.
That was Walking Dead number 100.
Right.
So that sold 225 copies. And there were actually, I have the data, the fourth prints would add 14. Oh, actually, I'm looking at something else here. Where is that?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
My mistake. That's something else. All right. Anyway, just looking back, I thought you guys might find it interesting if we looked at, like, 2006 up till now, the number one selling comics of the year. Was that the year that you opened, Colin?
Yes.
2006. Civil War II, that was the top selling comic of 2006. 2007, Captain America 25.
That's a death, isn't it?
2008, that was Secret Invasion number one. 2009 was Amazing Spider-Man with the Barack Obama cover.
Okay.
2010.
Yeah, you could. Okay.
They were giving those away, right, Colin?
Well, they weren't giving them away, but it was selling. It had nothing to do with the comic book.
2011 was Justice League number one, though, which was the opposite of that, right? Because you sold through 7 printings plus combo packs.
Yeah.
And then this year is Walking Dead 100. Some of the interesting trends that I saw in your data, Colin, was there was a surprising number of DC over Marvel.
Shocking.
Well, no, but here's the thing. No, but see, here's the thing. Wait. But this is sell-through, not what I ordered. So this is what you guys bought.
So in the national numbers, as far as what titles charted, 54.7% of the titles were DC, while 41.5% were Marvel.
Well, and really, if you look at the top of your list here, you take out Avengers versus X-Men, and it would be all DC. You know,
that's true.
You know, just take out those issues. And pretty much the same with mine. Just mine spread out a little bit. Batman did better for me than
locally.
Than that.
Locally, 78.9% of the titles that chart are DC. 19.2% are Marvel. Now, what's interesting about it is the national numbers include things like Marvel Now 0.1, Scarlet Spider, some things that may have been artificially inflated by Marvel sales tactics. What we're looking at are actual sell-through data for this area. So that tells me in this area, people like DC, including Colin. We all know Colin likes DC.
Not anymore. He hates them, too.
I don't... Yeah, I hate everybody.
Well, during
now.
2012, up
they've turned me into the standard comic book guy.
Up until late 2012. As far as, like, the quantities of the titles that charted in this top 250, it's right about the same. 79.6 DC, 18% Marvel. And the handful of titles that are not DC and Marvel is basically ruled by Walking Dead, locally. Saga did chart. Saga number one did chart. Some of the interesting titles that charted nationally that were not Marvel or DC was Masks number one, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Well, you have Bronies out there.
Yeah, the Bronies. That's a whole nother podcast.
Masks number one. There must have been some big promote, like a sketch cover or something, because that's not a book that would have sold 75,000 copies
sure
on
Ross
its own.
Did something.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the only one.
That one, that's well, no, but I mean, even just... There's no way that's continuing at 75,000.
Didn't my mask just come out like?
Yeah, we're only on issue two or three.
Three just was last week.
But yeah, something's a little. You know, the fact that they sold more masks than they did Walking Dead.
Colin, in your column number 124 was the Shadow number one. What do you attribute the popularity of that to?
Sure, because the fact that I had to order 250 copies to get an Alex Ross sketch cover.
Oh. That's right. That is a beautiful
now,
piece of
now, and,
too.
Oh, wait. Now, this is my sale through. You're right. Now, the reason for that...
$1 to get rid of $250.
You are correct, sir. Yes, no, that's exactly correct.
I see. You just love that.
Even
Alex
like
Ross,
if you're looking
so
at
much.
Number 71, I sold 63 Michonne specials. Well, that's because I was selling them at half off because I way overestimated the popularity of that.
That didn't chart in the national numbers.
But the Alex Ross, he had no idea what the cover was going to be.
Because he drew it, right?
Yeah, it was a sketch, random sketch. Like some people just got like a ring.
Yeah, it's still here.
Really? He got something decent.
Yeah,
you got
there
that,
were some
that shadow
less
headshot.
Than exciting ones. Where is that? I don't even see it on the list.
Number 124? Is that what you're looking
for? Oh, you have it in blue. See? You
threw
me
off.
Yeah,
I made a mistake, sorry.
What?
Joe.
I'm not perfect.
Oh, that's it.
I'm not perfect.
Yeah, the numbers basically, Justice League, Batman, Before Watchmen.
Don't you design bridges for a living?
Rule.
That kind of makes me nervous.
Oh, it's one little...
Field tower. Don't worry, nothing's falling down. Nothing's falling down.
He makes mistakes. He's not perfect.
We have quality control measures in place.
Yeah, that's something I didn't even notice, but I'm looking like Earth 2, 72 copies for me. That's... Now here's the problem. Like all new X-Men number one, the problem. My only reason I only sold 72 copies is that's all I got in, and I can't get more.
Yeah,
or I did just finally get in second.
Did you order more?
If you ordered second prints,
maybe 100. You know, but I just got second prints in last week. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem. We were talking a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that would move it up significantly. I mean, I would have put it up to like 19, 21 or 22.
Yeah, but that's part of the problem I'm finding. I'm still, like, I just got a huge reorder of DC stuff, even going back Detective number two, Nightwing number two. So I can still keep these on the shelf where with the Marvel stuff, they like the quick sellouts. I mean, I just got back in Spider-Man 700 second prints that sold the week of Christmas. And we just finally got
over
more of those in. And now, you know, as the market dried up, because we already have three issues of, you know, we've had three more issues come out since then.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas with the DC stuff, I sell out, I get more in the next week. I think that helps me and helps them. So...
Let me ask you, Colin, most of these Marvel titles that charted were number ones or early, you know, number two Marvel Now or AVX tie-ins. What do you attribute the popularity locally of Amazing Spider-Man to? Because like 688, like the Ends of the Earth storyline, the lead into number 700.
Yeah,
I was actually just going to say that.
Is 688 on here?
Yeah.
What was 688?
Number 211, 41 copies.
That's just, you know, Spider-Man's always in the 35 to 40 range. So, I mean, that's nothing
pretty
unheard of. Yeah.
It's pretty consistent. Like, if you look at 229 and 230, other parts of Ends of the Earth.
That's what I mean. They're all in that. That's just normally what Spider-Man sells for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, when I ordered 65 copies of 700, I thought I had plenty. Especially of an $8 book.
Mm-hmm.
Number ones, I think a lot of people are trying. You know, they just, it's Marvel Now. They're like, hey, let's give this a shot. Because a lot of them certainly aren't holding. Uncanny Avengers, is seeing a drop. Avengers Now is doing good, but you know, like now I'm out of number twos, so now I have to wait for more number twos.
Some of it's the collectability thing, right? I'm sure there are a lot of people buying every number one just to have the...
But again, that's what makes it tough when you have to order the first three issues having no idea. No, but so you can't... Wait, but you're saying the collectability issue. Would you order the same number of twos as you would number one? Right, so now...
Unless number one was really good.
But I don't know. I'm ordering three before I see number one. So, of course, I...
Well, you're seeing three before you see the sales of number one.
No, I'm seeing the
number ones were readable.
Right, but that doesn't help me.
Right.
But so that's part of the problem. Like, I'm looking like here, Avengers or Avengers versus X-Men 2 and 5, 100. That's just how many I ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have sold more.
Something that I thought was interesting, Colin, is number 2 on the national sales data was Uncanny Avengers number 1.
Right. Now, remember, that was the first Marvel Now book with huge promotions behind it.
On your titles, on the local sales data, I know you ordered big on that one. However, it did not chart until number 35, putting it behind the entire Avengers versus X-Men, behind all of the Batman titles, behind most of the Justice League titles.
Yeah, still sold pretty well.
I remember when we talked right after it came out, and we compared Walking Dead 100, Justice League number 1, and Uncanny Avengers number 1, and it was pretty clear that Walking Dead 100... With, you know, the 225.
Well, again, but like I said, now that one is very skewed.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I think I sold 15 sets, so that was 120 copies to 15 people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bought 10.
So, you know, that.
11 copies of it.
Yeah, so that number is very skewed. I didn't sell 225 separate copies.
Right.
Still, the Justice League number one was 149 copies between first and second printing.
Yeah.
30 for the third, 14 for the
Justice
fourth.
Justice League number one? I ordered like 205.
No, I didn't. No, I only ordered 100 for the first one.
Uncanny Avengers.
There was, but I didn't order it.
I'm looking at Uncanny Avengers.
I wasn't
as a
going from
flop
15 to 200. That was a bit of a jump.
You probably would have sold it.
Oh, absolutely. I sold out that at the party that night. What?
Lots of feedback.
It does kind of, the numbers do kind of show that across the board, nationally and locally, people are looking at Batman, Justice League, and Avengers versus X-Men as the figurehead titles, the masthead titles in the year 2012. Those were the titles that everybody wanted. If you participated in either Marvel or DC, you needed to be reading those to know what was going on in your universe.
Yeah. But even like I'm looking like Avengers versus X-Men number one had huge sales incentives. All the number ones do.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel does big, big incentives to make you order tons of them.
Yeah.
So those are all going to be a little inflated. Like I'm looking even the change nationally, Avengers versus X-Men number one down to number two is a drop of 60,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
So, Joe, when Marvel double ships, are you accounting for that is that accounted for in the national sales data that Diamond publishes?
They don't do that. I think the last one they did was at 0.1. I don't even know if they did it on the last 0.1. It was the 0.1 before. That's the last one I remember them double shipping specifically.
If they double ship, well, it's basically...
That's basically, I order 10, they send me 20.
Yeah.
And then they count 20 on the sales chart. That's right. That's a little shady.
The national sales data do take credit for that. So what we're looking at is what leaves Diamond in the national sales data, and then what leaves this store in the Pittsburgh Comics sales data. I only printed one copy of the trade paperback information because there's not a lot to it. It's basically all Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I did go up to number 51 because Adventure Time did chart at number 51 on the national sales data, and I know that Megan likes Adventure Time. So too bad
so
she's not
Adam.
Here.
Oh, Adam, well, that's good. Yeah, but I mean, just Walking Dead's all over for me too. But then you also have Batman Earth One.
Mm-hmm.
Now, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I classify that as a comic, mm-hmm. so that's why it's not on my list.
All right,
Saga is pretty close. Watchmen. I don't know who's. I mean, well, okay, that's national. No. What happened is DC did a big promotion, where you could order them in really cheap to tie in with the before
that's
Watchmen.
You had all those
that's why
for $50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The absolutes, yeah. So that explains why. Because again, this is leaving Diamond.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So
absolutely.
Weren't those on consignment? A lot of those absolutes for the Watchmen.
No, it was just a sale.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a cheap price. No.
They were doing the trades or something.
They were getting ready for before Watchmen.
No, so yeah, but it is interesting to see what else you have. You have the Superman Earth 1, the Batman Earth 1, Batman Volume 1, all, you know, charting.
Mm-hmm.
Long Halloween, that still sells really well for me.
That's interesting that those Earth 1 charted so high and people say the original graphic novel doesn't work.
Yes, but, yeah.
I think it does work. I like Batman Earth 1 a lot.
You know.
The only problem with it is you have to wait, you know, a year or two years.
It was two between Superman. I thought Batman Superman.
Earth 1 Volume 2 is already solicited. I thought it was last month's order.
I don't think so. I don't remember. No, it was but 2 years you know, for it, Superman.
It gives Superman. An opportunity for an artist that may not be a monthly guy to turn out a complete story with only his name in the credit box instead of, you know, one penciler and then a slew of inkers.
But I think I don't know how the payment situation works like that, because I know most of them, you know, they do an issue, they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're getting paid once every 2 years on the
production. I'm sure they have it worked out.
Right, but that's where I see a problem, just on their end about that.
You did have some interesting numbers, like Underwater Welder. That was a pretty popular one for you, Colin.
Well, that's part me, too, pushing Jeff Lemire. But a lot of people were excited about it, but I think I've pushed him as a creator.
One of the most conspicuous things about this group of sales data is the absence of Dark Knight Returns. And I don't think I see Watchmen on here either.
On my list? No, probably not.
Or Watchmen made it. They both are on
the. Well, because there was a bit. Now, there was a big consignment thing for the movie for on the Batman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it did sell very well. Like, I'm looking at that. The Nightfall Part 1.
Do you find locally people are pushed?
Well, they did because that's the first appearance of Bane. Uh-huh. So with the movie tying in with the movie, people are asking about that. So that's why that did.
Batman Along Halloween is on there.
Yeah. But again, that was a consignment thing through
Batman Year
Diamond.
One. But Batman Year One came out as a brand new cover.
Right. Brand new hardcover edition.
Well, that's still the soft cover. I don't think I sold very many of the hardcover.
Did they change the soft cover though, didn't they?
I don't think so. Not that I remember.
It's that yellow with the circle. They did it for the movie because the cartoon.
That was the hardcover. The hardcover had that cover.
Okay. But, you know, they haven't done anything new to Long Halloween. That one just sells good.
Yeah. Well, it's an easy one. Hey, I want a Batman story. It's a nice, easy one.
And that's the thing. Like, what you said, Dark Knight Returns isn't on here?
It's nationally. It might not be on mine. I was out of it for a while.
Yeah, Colin, are you pushing people towards the Scott Snyder Batman?
Mm-hmm. Well, they could tend to find it, but that one's been... I mean, I've sold a boatload of that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so, yeah, you did...
Number 10.
Yeah.
Right after Walking Dead. Batman Earth 1 was number 1 for you, but...
Yeah. I was surprised. I had no idea it sold that many.
So, oddly enough, you sold... I guess that's not odd, but you sold a lot of... new stuff in trades as opposed to the national sold like a mixture of different things.
Do you attribute the Flashpoint trade paperbacks charting on here because of how much we talked about them on the podcast?
Yeah.
You know, but
everybody wanted to know what was going to happen in the new 52.
You know,
but this was after. This was last year.
You only made it on two of the trades of Flashpoint. Flashpoint trade paperback in the World of Flashpoint. You don't even have Batman Flashpoint.
Well, I might have made that whatever my cutoff was or whatever.
It just seems odd because that one you think would be on yours because you played it up. But that goes into your whole thing is does Colin's word so much matter so much into this because you did play up that Batman
actually,
a lot.
There's that leak. So that made it.
The
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
But it's not in here, that one. But Walking Dead is definite because what happens in your store is
people see the TV insane.
Show and they'll go and do this before
absolutely
they get the comic
insane.
Book.
Insane.
Because this is how people that aren't comic book fans are going to read the stories. They're going to go in and get the big collection.
Mm-hmm. How funny is it that the first volume is the number one seller? Like, that's how many new
Well, because it's $10. Or it was. I think they just raised the price. But it was an easy... Oh, you want to try it? Here you go. You know,
I'm just saying that many new people are coming in for the first time looking for Walking Dead.
Yep.
This is surprising.
Batman Earth 1.
Yeah. That's surprising that it's on your number one. I think. If anything, I'd still think that yours would be Walking Dead.
Yeah, I was surprised too when I ran the numbers. Because it's something I ordered a bunch in.
Oh, probably, so it all
probably started
on
with
much,
25 of them.
But this is then, how many you sold. Was
yeah, that's how many that I've sold.
That is surprising. Court of Owls, I could see that being on there.
Yeah, Dark Tower, Gunslinger Born, that's a product of selling it for $3.
But. I find this one more interesting, though, of information, because, I don't know, something about all these collections and stuff like that, it really shows what people do.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai.
And then, like, that Grim Fairy Tales on there because I got the little stand-up display, and it was, I think, $9.99, and people were like, oh, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, yeah?
Plus, it's got a lot of TNA.
So. I do remember that.
Now, the Boys right Volume 1, that's strictly me
what
pushing
has
it.
What a lot of TNA?
Grim Fairy Tales.
Oh, yeah.
Funny that that's what caught you.
That's on his phone, and all of a sudden, what? TNA? What?
Yeah, but still, what an odd assortment of the Boys. You think being the... If you pushed it a lot, you'd have... Like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because you do push it a lot.
I don't. I mean, people, when they ask for something different, I point them.
Well, it just seems like an odd jump. Like,
yeah,
it's 10 and 11 and then 1.
Well, remember, because, I mean, like, those sold 9. The other ones might have sold 8 or 7. You know, mm-hmm. it's just a, you know, not fall.
Yeah, but we have 10 copies went out the door of people trying it for the first time. And then, you know, 9 people had stuck with it.
Yeah,
the whole way.
What I'm saying seems odd. I mean, it could be at random, though, but if people are going to come in and get the number 1 and they like it, you think the number 2 would do fairly well, mm-hmm. too, and that's uh-huh. not on the list.
I'd say if half the people came back for number 2.
It seems odd that number 10 and 11 are, unless, you know, why that big of a jump? I don't know.
Well, maybe 10 was the first one to come out that year.
Uh-huh.
So people who've been getting them...
Just picked it up because...
Right.
Okay.
I'd say The Boys are a longer read than The Walking Dead, too. Like, you get Walking Dead...
You go through it pretty quick.
Yeah, you're through that first volume in an hour. You're back in the store.
I don't know. What is it? Is it the trade of The Boys?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The trade for The Boys, I could read in, like, the same amount of time, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's...
No, Girth has a lot more dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Plus, then you're, like, cowering in the fetal position
right,
on the floor.
Yeah, going,
like,
oh, I can't unsee that.
Was that the first page of the second issue or the first page of the second trade that did that to me?
I don't know.
It was the one where there were the three dudes' butts and just the word, suck it.
I have no idea.
Maybe they just went blob off Amazon and quit buying them in the store.
Hey, now.
Edit that part out.
Man, Donnie, stop it.
What is Amazon?
It's a river.
I did take note of some trends, too. I'll just go through them real quick. Something funny, comics increased in price as far as the average of the price of a comic book in the top 300 coming out of Diamond. They were increasing in price up until 2011. All right, a steady increase up until where it was $358 in 2010, then dipped to $349.
You know why?
DC held the line at $299 until last year, until 2012, when it went back up to $354. So I'm sure that that has something to do with Marvel taking over a little bit more, taking back a little bit more of the top 300, maybe IDW, some of these other $399 comics. Also, DC, I find, don't they have a lot of backstories?
No, I think they only have 3, maybe 4 books that are $399.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever it is,
Justice
something's
League,
making
Batman,
these...
Batman, All-Star Western...
Action.
Oh, it was one of the Army ones. Oh, Action.
Yeah, I thought Flash was, too.
No.
Yeah. Actually, the mean price last year was still below 2010.
I don't think it always was, but yeah.
At $354. 2012, the mean price was $354. Still below the $358 of 2010. As far as the value of the comic book market... For the titles that left Diamond, it actually steadily increased up until 2008 and then started dipping in 2009, dipped a little bit further in 2010, dipped a little further in 2011. But last year, there was a huge jump to where it went higher than any of the numbers that I wrote down here. So as far as it's back... in terms of in 2009, it was $428, dipped to $419 in 2010, $414 million in 2011, and the comic book market coming out of Diamond, had $474 million in sales in the year 2012.
And half of that was me. So.
As far as the sales in just from the top 300, it was $285 million in dollars in 2012. And that is 80.55 million copies of individual comics left Diamond. As far as, let's see, top trades, $84.57 million in the year 2012 coming out of Diamond. And if we tally the sales from the top 300 comics and the top trades for 2012, comic books are a $370 million business.
Okay, what about the alphabet A through M?
What do you mean?
No.
You get them? So for those of you still awake at home, Jay, you can't leave us hanging. Give us some more data.
Call it you want to hear some more? Oh, that kind of concluded what I wanted to talk about. Man.
That's it?
Is there any questions?
You finished?
Yeah.
How did digital comics fit into your numbers?
Well, you know, a lot of comics, a lot of digital comics were sold by coupon, you know, with digital packs.
Do you have a reference for that, Jeff?
634. Yeah, I come to the comic store every week in Maine. No, I mean, like, a lot of comics came with...
Maine?
Yeah.
That's
a lot of comics came with coupons. A lot of comics came with digital combo packs. I know there's a few suckers out there that download everything through Comixology. But
they're suckers.
But winners buy them from Pittsburgh Comics.
If I'm going to be anybody from that show, make me Brian Johnson. I have a beard, at least.
Uh-huh. What'd you read this week, Adam?
This week? Like, today?
Yeah. I'm really into Spider-Man right now. Are you keeping up with it?
Yes. No, I stopped reading that. No, I read Spider-Man.
I'm a little bit behind. I'm reading the Alpha storyline.
I'm still writing threats to Dan Slott.
How's it going?
FBI is involved. It's not good.
Has he responded?
Not personally.
Uh-huh. You heard from the police.
Does a restraining order count?
From him through the police. So you don't like the Superior Spider-Man?
As long as it doesn't last forever.
It's not going to.
I kind of like this.
I like it the way it's going. Yeah. I didn't read today yet, but I like it. I like where it's going. It's something different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got to have fun with it.
You can't keep the same thing going forever. I mean,
since you haven't read today's issue, I will tell you this. Today's issue kind of shows you that Doc Ock isn't going by the theory of with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think people start to figure out that's not Spider-Man. Like
oh, did it?
Yeah,
that's what I was waiting.
Not a lot of people, but people start to question, you know, what's. And he questions himself, like, that he did something. I think it's going to change who Doc Ock is. And I think, you know, for a character that they haven't had doing that much for a very long time. Yeah. And really, they didn't... Truthfully, I don't think they did much with Doc Ock since the 60s, to tell you the truth. Not much has happened with the character.
Almost married Aunt May.
That's true.
In the
70s. And then he died. he was supposed to die. But anyways...
He would died. He died in the 90s, was replaced by a female Doc Ock.
That's true.
Oh, but yeah, I forgot about that.
I think his character seems to matter a little more in this, because Dan Slott's been using him to some more potential, so I don't know. I can't really say I don't like it, because I think it's a different change. It's, Peter's, you know, still in it.
Well, it's making you think when you read a Spider-Man book, because...
Yeah.
I mean, they never really did. I mean, you read Spider-Man, he won, there'll be this story, he lost his costume, he got a new costume now, he's back, he's going to fight this guy, and at the end, he always wins.
Yeah.
And now, you really don't know what's going to happen.
I love the costume, to say the truth, and I especially
I do, too. I like the new one.
Well, I especially loved it today.
Uh-huh. What about it did you like? What made it special?
Well, today...
Because it was more blue.
They dealt with something with a spotlight and a lot of light.
Uh-huh.
There was a spider light.
And I won't... Yeah, it was a spider signal.
Or spider signal.
Yeah, which was really funny at the beginning, to tell you the truth. But supposedly his eyes, they're kind of like, you know, the glasses. I forget what they call those glasses that change shades with sunlight. Okay. And they go black.
Polarized, yeah.
They're polarized. And I just thought that was neat because he looked neat with the eyes. But I think his – I just like the design. It looks like they put a little more detail into the Spider-Man costume.
Mm-hmm. I like the little same details. Same costume, like just
detail.
The toe. He has like ninja toe boots.
And the claws.
The claws, yeah.
Which he does use. And just the thought that he puts into a lot of the stuff he has, you know. But I think he's turning into a character that, you know, because of the whole responsibility thing, he doesn't – he's doing a lot of these things that just seem, they seem like they're effective, but should he be doing them? Things like having little spider robots to go around the city. Basically, they're just watching everything you do. It's just not, doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea? Is it effective? Yeah, it works, but is it a good idea? You know, no. Mm. You know, just little things like that that he's doing, but he's learning from these things, and you can see he is. And I don't know. I think it just seems kind of interesting. Of we've been reading about Peter Parker for a long time. He's actually in this story, and I think he's actually learning from what Doc Ock does as well, and seeing, you know, how important he is actually in the world, which I don't think sometimes Peter Parker looks at himself and says that he, you know,
so when he does
Parker Lock all this stuff, you know. It's just, yeah.
When he does eventually come back, I mean,
what?
If it, I don't even know if it's gonna, I don't even know if it's gonna take 12 issues, really. How much do you think he's going to keep some of the stuff that Doc Ock's inventing with the Spider-Man suit? Or
that's, you know, I don't know. I mean,
he did say he liked the spider bots.
Yeah, there's like, been times where saying, he's gone, oh man, that's a really good idea. So
yeah,
well, did and you who, Daredevil last week?
Yeah.
So at least one hero is kind of questioning whether it's still
right.
That was my next question: who you think's going to like main character? Who do you think's going to figure it out?
From the
first?
Last issue of Superior, not I mean, this Wednesday. Well, yeah, a little bit in this. It seems that Carly Cooper is starting to figure out little bits and pieces here and there.
And one of their promo images was him with the word "fired" and the Avengers standing. Yeah. Behind him, so obviously so
that's
he's going to
that's
make
the big
them,
April thing.
Yeah,
right?
Mm.
So
that'll be interesting.
Well, and we were wondering about the Age of Ultron, about how Spider-Man, it showed the Superior Spider-Man, and supposedly this story was written.
Yeah,
maybe actually
6.1, which are
6 AU,
which takes place during.
And next one will be 7 Grapefruit. So
7 Grapefruit.
But yeah, it's just there's some question just which Spider-Man's in Age of Ultron.
But it might be Peter Parker in that costume though.
It's Superior. It's
but it was done 2 years ago.
It's supposed to take place before AVX.
Yeah, so that's where it's going to be a little. I know you said you wanted to talk
time
about
time travel.
You wanted to talk about X-Men, and that was something. I was reading online. Somebody's like, "Well, wait a minute," because I think it was either this issue or the last issue. Young Scott Summers walks into a convenience store and is shocked that a magazine's $6 and they sell bottled water. And they're like, okay, what time did they come from?
Yeah.
Mm. If it's only 10 years ago, that would make it 2002. Yeah. They were selling bottled water in 2002.
Well, that took place in the 70s and 80s, right? So, I mean,
60s.
Okay, but so now he's 60 years old? They went back and took him from 50 years ago?
They were... they age
right.
Time is different than our time.
Right, but when people are complaining that how could you have all these Robins in only 5 years, how can you go back and get the young X-Men from 40 years ago?
It is.
You know, that's just where...
Mind-bending.
Well,
oh, my goodness. You broke the internet.
I know.
That's a cultural thing versus... the physical inability of Batman to have had sex with Talia al Ghul and have a 10-year-old.
Why?
He's only been Batman for 5 years, so he wouldn't have
been. No, he's been
Rob's
Batman longer than 5 years.
Okay, so let's say he's
Justice League's
for,
only been together for 5 years.
Let's say he's been Batman for 10 years.
There you go.
He wouldn't have met Ra's al Ghul on his first adventure.
Maybe he did.
And he would have banged his daughter his on like the day
he,
after.
In the movies, he met Ra's al Ghul well before he was Batman.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I give up.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul trained him. That's right.
I think it's just, well, with all the Earths and the multiverse, I don't know how much you can argue a lot of this stuff.
It was just funny when I was happy to see somebody arguing.
But I think it's harder. I think it's easier with DC, but I think it's harder with Marvel sometimes. But
well,
it does kind
of. DC tried to set a 5-year.
Well, they make it like they came right out of the 60s.
Yeah. As far as Superior Spider-Man being in the Age of Ultron, it is not unheard of for Marvel to request their artists to redraw things or draw something and then paste over it.
Well, that pitch no longer works for them anymore, so somebody else is going to have to redraw it.
They aged Cyclops in this issue, this last issue. And well, they didn't really age him. The girl, there was a girl in the bank, and she said, "What are you, like 40? So I was like, well, that seems like an appropriate age of how old he might be.
I thought that was young Cyclops in the bank.
Yeah, it was, but she said, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You look like younger aren't you 40 or something.
But do they want regular Cyclops to be 40? I don't think so. That was the whole reason DC did what they did to get their heroes back into their 20s rather than their 30s.
Yeah. But all in all, I think with X-Men right now, I think they've gotten it to they've made it into something that people can care about again. And I think it lost that mainly because, and I say this all the time about the X-Men, if you make mutants acceptable, mm-hmm. then what's the point of X-Men? You know,
what's the point of Avengers? Superheroes with powers are acceptable.
No, but the point, X-Men were always fighting against society. Society was looking down on them, so they were trying to be heroes.
Otherwise,
even
they are
everyone
the Avengers.
Was afraid of them, things like that. So
they'll become the West Coast Avengers. The Utopia.
Well,
Avengers.
Now they're back over here, so and Utopia is closed.
Yeah.
But yeah. Otherwise, you know, what are they? They're the Avengers. There's nothing special about the book. And I think that's what loses people in X-Men, that they're just like, why, what's the point of this? I think they've gotten it to a point now that they seem more, mutants seem like a threat again. With covers like this recent cover of, I think it's the new Uncanny X-Men.
Next week.
That has, you know, Cyclops, people holding up signs with Cyclops' face on it, the new costume, and then they're making the X with their arms.
Are they just protesting him, or
no? They're with him. Okay. You know,
so is that going to be the main X book? Like, is that what
I'm guessing that's going to be the Cyclops? Like
you know what? I don't know. I think it's, you know, there was never really a main Avengers book when Brian Michael Bendis did it. You know, you always thought, well, it's going to be the Avengers, but it really wasn't. They kind of mixed them. They made them. You know, there was so much going on with it. It didn't really.
Well, I mean, the last Uncanny X-Men that. That was, like, the main X-Book, wasn't it? Like, if somebody died in there, then that was, like, it.
Well, I mean, but it happened throughout each book, totally though, they would,
for
they
a
would
long,
say.
For a long time, Uncanny X-Men was the flagship X-Men book. When Grant Morrison took over adjectiveless X-Men, made it new X-Men, that became the flagship X-Men book. When he left, it wasn't until Joss Whedon took over, or actually started Astonishing X-Men, that became the flagship X-Men book. So Uncanny and adjectiveless were kind of left in the dust. When New X-Men then became X-Men Legacy, that was always kind of off to the side. Astonishing X-Men was published like quarterly or sometimes not at all. So that kind of got pushed off, and I think it kind of went back to Uncanny X-Men when Matt Fraction was the main writer. So
Uncanny always seems like the main book, though, because it was the one book that was... That's the book that came out. It was the first book.
Were Uncanny and Legacy, and Legacy certainly wasn't the main
one. I like that you call it adjectiveless. I think
that's what they called it,
There should be a title called Adjectiveless X-Men.
I'm just wondering.
They don't describe anything in detail throughout the whole book.
They're not uncanny at all. I'm just wondering,
because, like, in the X-Books is out now... Things are going on in there, like they're bringing up stuff that happened in A versus X, like with Cyclops being in jail and all the bad stuff he did. So when this new one comes out, is it going to take place after all that? Or I mean, is he?
Well, I think so, because I think it's primarily going to be the Cyclops book.
I think basically you're going to have
Schism, Uncanny, and Wolverine and the X-Men shared that flagship. Yeah, like they were both essential. Although now isn't all new X-Men
like Schism.
Isn't all new X-Men kind of like the flagship
X-Men
book?
Schism was okay.
Book?
Prelude to Schism, I had a problem.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Well, all new X-Men, isn't that kind of like the flagship
all
book?
All new right now, but it could... That's what I'm saying. With being that all these books are going to be... both of these books are going to be written by Brian Michael Bendis. He doesn't really seem to do that. He doesn't really have a so-called flagship book. if, you know, looking at Avengers, when New Avengers was out and Avengers, mm-hmm. there wasn't really a flagship. They were just two different teams.
I think one Avengers being the was, because New team. Avengers was more the, it was the Luke Cage
book. But I don't think they were really, well, not during Civil War and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, that was
I mean,
the only Avengers book at that point. New Avengers was the only Avengers book.
Yeah, no, Mighty.
Well, no, yeah,
Mighty
yeah,
was
Mighty.
After, but that was well after Civil War.
I thought
and they
that
were
was Secret
to be
Invasion.
The,
no, I thought Mighty started in Civil War because Iron Man went and got.
No, it was after.
Danvers
it was right
after.
It was right after. He did that because he was now head of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's why. He was leading those. That might be what's confusing you. He was leading that group
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, and then
people,
they spun
and then
Mighty.
They turned themselves into their own Avengers because they didn't like the idea. But he doesn't... I don't really think... I mean, I guess it all depends on what he does with each of these books. If he, you know, whichever one he's mainly focusing on, that's the one will be the main book, really. I mean, but I can't see him actually saying, you know, this is going to be the main one because... Right now, you have two sides. The X-Men are split down the middle. Yeah. You know? So, like, this is basically the Brotherhood book and the other one. And then you also have Wolverine and the X-Men, which is a team of its own, which are the younger group.
And you have Storm and Uncanny X-Force.
And then you
Cable
have...
And
then you're
going to
have X-Men,
yeah.
Which is the all-female team. Which...
What?
Adjectiveless.
X-Men.
The one you skipped.
Or is it just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the, writing it?
Wood.
Really?
You had me.
It's led by Storm. Storm's the leader of that.
See what happens when you read an all woman book.
You know, you're getting over it.
Yeah, what? Read that all woman book. You get what?
But
I had something I was going to say before that. But...
Edit that out.
It's gone. No. That's the charm of our podcast. No editing.
Are we got any overs and unders in that?
No.
We have two X-Force books as well.
Yes.
So, but I think your main X-Men stuff, all new X-Men. Frankly, I've liked all new X-Men. I just seem that it seems so odd. Like when I first thought about this, I said when they first mentioned this book was coming out, I was like, "Come on, this is weird." Like the idea of it just didn't make any sense. But if you really think about X-Men. That's kind of what X-Men is. Their books are always fighting an odd thing. They're always dealing with something. I mean, they've dealt with space. They've dealt with, you know, they're very, you know, different. And so really this whole time travel thing doesn't really seem like it's that odd while reading it. And I don't know. I kind of like the idea of the, you know, you have... The old group here.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
dealing
good.
With these
I've
newer
liked it.
Issues, and so I don't know. Yeah, I mean, right now he's doing really well with this book, so I'm still reading it, and I just like the idea of what they're doing with Cyclops. I mean, Cyclops always seemed like a character that I just couldn't get into. Like he just didn't seem interesting. He was kind of a boring character, and now, especially being the leader of the team, you know, of the X-Men.
That's kind of how I feel with Magneto now. Like, I really don't like what they're doing with him. I don't know. I like him more as a bad guy. I don't think it's going where...
Magneto seems more boring now.
Yeah,
he and
does.
I don't think he was that... Well, even when he was... Even... Not even as a bad guy. Before this, when he was just kind of... He was learning
neutral.
From his mistakes. Yeah. He was... That was, I liked him like that. I thought it was, you know, he's actually learning something from what he's doing, you know. In a way, he could become almost like the new Charles Xavier, you know, and take over for Charles. But now that he's part of this group, it just seems like he's just going back into his old ways, but for some reason, he's not leading it. It just doesn't fit, I don't think. I mean, in a way, he does fit because he's Magneto. This seems like where he's supposed to be. But it seems kind of out of nowhere that they're just placing him onto this team that seems like his old brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
then,
Magneto's been a cool addition to the X-Men over the last couple years.
Like, I think so, too.
Having him on the island and having him kind of guide Scott Summers and in a relationship
and
with
that's
Rogue.
A good point. And he might be better in this book now that we see that, as Joe was just saying, that he's going to be kind of he's kind of got to be Cyclops' moral compass, because right now I don't think Cyclops knows what to do.
Mm-hmm. Magneto's been there.
I think if he's there,
knows where he needs to say, you know, watch yourself.
I think it's going to be a little better for him. So it could be interesting for that. I think Emma Frost, though, seems kind of irrelevant lately. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
Has she even been in anything lately?
Well, she's in this new X-Men team, the Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Is she an adjectiveless X-Men?
She's not dressed the same. She's the one.
X-Men.
She's dressed different somehow.
In a prison jumpsuit still.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I forget what she was wearing.
Did you like that, man?
It's kind of hot.
That old issue didn't make any sense.
She's wearing more clothes than
talk about where continuity gets screwed up. That one really got screwed up.
Yeah, wait till you read New Avengers this week and then try to figure out what the heck's going on with Cap.
Well, I thought
spoilers on what happens.
Dimension Z.
Right, exactly. He's in Dimension Z, saving the world in Avengers, and then I don't want to give it away. But
right now, continuity makes no. There's no point of checking in on continuity of Marvel right now because it's all its own thing. It might be safer like that, to tell you the truth, if you don't put any focus into that, because these are all just separate stories altogether that don't tie into anything.
But yeah, even though,
which is good in a way, because you can pick up any of the books and read it and not have
to care about the rest.
But one of their hallmarks was always that it was a combined universe, a joined universe, and everything. If it happened in this, it affected that and things like that. And I'm thinking like now,
It's still
even Mr. Fantastic is lost in space in Fantastic Four, yet he's in New Avengers.
Yeah, that mm-hmm.
you know, so
bit.
It's just one of those things. How can this be happening?
It took
so.
Place before he left.
Oh, okay.
Well, Fantastic Four are tied together, right?
Well, they're the same writer.
Yeah,
they should be. Uh-huh. But Avengers and New Avengers don't jive, and they're the same writer. So
I got the sense that New Avengers was taking place like a little while back.
It has to take place somewhere after.
I mean, Avengers could take place any point in time ever.
It kind of feels like it spans a pretty long time.
Avengers is like nothing to do with anything ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Avengers right now is one. I can't say it's not my favorite. Like, I think it's too big,
mm-hmm.
and I know that's their key word in the whole thing. But it's just too big to really
too big
matter.
To fail.
Plus, I don't understand where
came out last week four.
Yeah.
Yeah, and five came out this week.
3 to 4 was kind of disjointed.
Like yeah, well, wait till you read 5. It's
3, they're like on an alien planet, and then 4, they're like back on Earth chilling, like, hey, what's up?
Well, and then at the end.
Yeah, they're also in the Savage Land.
The conclusion of the.
Did they run into Wolverine?
Yeah, and Shauna.
Hey, guys. What are you doing here?
At the end of. At the end of the last story arc, whatever, where they were fighting that crazy gold goat guy. He was defeated by that one character who I have no idea who that
Captain
was. Captain Universe, yeah.
The Protect? No.
But how out of nowhere was that?
Yeah.
I mean, it just was just like, oh yeah, I can defeat you. And then, yeah, you're defeated. What was
it looks like he's trying to use all these obscure characters, and like supposedly he's going to be relaunching the new universe.
But
who the F is Manifold?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, did he create
he created him. That used to be, that was the X-Men guy. I think he's related to...
No, not Gate or...
Okay. Gateway, that other guy is now the new Gateway.
Okay.
I don't think he's the new Gateway.
He's like Gateway.
He's an aborigine who can make them teleport. Gosh, that's so different.
Does he swing a bull?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Or he's got a staff.
He's a staff.
But...
But, like, if you're going to aim after a car part, Manifold really isn't.
Transmission.
Yeah.
But having...
Catalytic converter just didn't...
Manifold would also mean the connection of two things.
Can it?
Yeah.
Gas tank.
having that many characters, I think, is going to hurt the book because none of the characters are going to have a voice. Like, you're going to have a select characters that have a voice.
So far, Tony and Steve have had a voice.
They're going to have a voice, yeah. But what's the point of throwing a bunch of characters into one book when... The only thing I could see it as, if it's going to be like, okay, we're going to call upon certain Avengers.
Well, I think that's what it was, because they were talking about
having specialized
teams.
And then what, they just wanted to have
teams.
One big group that started off with to say, okay, these are who are going to be, okay, then that could work.
That might, I mean.
That might work in that.
To me is like Morrison, except I understand it.
Yeah. Well, and
Like, I don't now, but I have a feeling by issue 10 or 11, I'll understand Hickman's greater plan. Whereas,
well, yeah,
Morrison,
that's true.
Ryan will understand it, and the rest of us will read Wikipedia to figure it out. And
we'll email him to get a his write-up on it.
I also don't understand why they need to have mutants on this team. The whole,
just getting the best of the best.
Yeah. Well, the whole big point of having Uncanny Avengers was this was Cap's team that was going to have mutants on it.
Right, but it's never going to ship, so don't worry about that book. We're going to move on to
that's no longer the flagship.
What is with that? Why is that book not shipping like crazy?
The artist.
Yeah, it's not the writer. It's more
but isn't it shipping like a normal book, though?
No.
No, it's every other
I thought
month.
It was coming out.
It's already late. First one came out in October.
Did the second one come out at all?
Yeah, we're up to three.
Issue threes, but
yeah.
Okay.
But it's been every other month, roughly.
So it hasn't, it hasn't been 3 months.
6 weeks, that sounds about right. Just with the way everything else is shipping, it's, you know.
You know what they should do? They should go to an original graphic novel format. Yeah. That way, the artist who's not a monthly guy can put his pages together. We'll get it once a year.
Or fill-ins, because I've noticed fill-in artists already on some Marvel books.
Yeah, well, like the last two, or at least the last, this Avengers is Kubert. I think the last one might have been two.
Uh-huh. And then with New Avengers, basically what? The Illuminati's only task is keeping track of the Infinity Gems?
I think that's the reason they came together, right?
No, the Planet Hulk.
But
it seemed they came together.
No,
they sent Hulk into space.
They existed before.
Yeah, they existed before.
Yeah.
That was just when we found out about
it. They collected.
Them.
They were dealing with.
Because they were around
stop.
For the Kree Skrull War.
Yeah,
or Secret
one of those
Secret
issues showed
Wars.
Like flashbacks
oh, really?
To them
okay.
being involved in like around and like.
It was a miniseries where they tied them in.
Yeah.
And all that.
Oh, that's right.
It was called
that's
New
right.
Avengers Illuminati.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought it was to keep track of Black Panther.
He's now a member.
Don't
just wait till you
that.
Read the new one. Just read the new one.
I don't know.
But
you've got like
that seems to be their main focus when writing these characters.
What about the people from other countries? Like, there's like a bunch of Americans and an Atlantean. And why isn't Wolverine there? Who's going to represent Canada?
Yeah,
or are you going to say Canada?
Canada.
He just wants to sit and drink beer. He doesn't want to.
We need Puck on that team.
Yes.
If they had beer, he'd show up.
That's why he doesn't show.
And,
I think
he's actually
a
supposed
hero
to
the people.
Be there.
Oh, duels.
And the idea
and
of the body are they look at themselves as this elitist force that feels like they know what's better for humanity than humanity knows
well,
for itself.
Who's the mutant on it now that Xavier's dead?
That's what I was going to say.
And read the new issue.
Representing Charles Xavier Wolverine.
Should it be the Red Skull since he has Xavier's
oh, man.
Attached?
You were talking.
Yeah, so you got that. Yeah.
Charles Xavier's brain attached to the Red Skull.
I reading
it's not even the Red Skull. It's a clone of Red Skull.
Is he still using
only the three issues
of Futurama.
So
what if he's...
As of the last issue, yes.
Colin, let's throw in the town.
I bet the the clone of the Red Skull has an LMD.
I bet it's actually Arnim Zola.
Ooh.
No, he's in Dimension Z with the... Really
that's
bad
a different
Captain America
that's a,
art.
That's a different Arnim Zola.
Where Captain America looks like a 14-year-old boy with a beard.
Okay. Can't do a show of hands. Who thought that when you started reading Captain America that was a girl? The kid.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Is it supposed to be himself?
No,
it's,
no.
A,
boy.
It's a kid.
It's a boy named
a boy.
Ian. I just... Wow.
Doesn't J.R.J.R. draw great children?
It's a boy, yeah. Bobblehead, named Ian.
J.R. draws nothing that is great.
And people
he's
yelling
actually...
at me for posting those panels on my Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Why?
They didn't like it?
They said, stop ruining my eyes. Because, yeah. Because the heads are all bigger than the torsos. The total torsos.
John Romita Jr. is actually beloved by Marvel editors because he will draw anything. And he will take direction. He takes artistic
direction.
Because
his dad drew Spider-Man.
So well. So well. Like for instance, whenever he was doing Amazing Spider-Man, the Thunderbolts at the time came into Peter Parker's apartment. Peter Parker comes home. The Thunderbolts are there.
I remember that.
Okay. He drew Bullseye in the picture. The thing is, at the time, Bullseye was not known to be part of the Thunderbolts because he was still as a villain. He hadn't taken on the Hawkeye thing yet. All right? An editor calls JRJR and is like, look, we got to get Hawkeye out of there. Replace him with this guy. I forget who they had him replace him with. Then they started talking about something else. While they were on the phone, JRJR erases Bullseye, draws in the replacement character, faxes it to the editor. The editor's on the phone with him. He gets the page in. He's like, what's going on? I just got a fax from you. Oh yeah. Okay. Approved. Okay. That's why John Romita Jr. gets work. But because then he gets it done.
Well, then they need to tell him to make the head smaller.
Yeah, if they want to do that with Photoshop. It's a character. Nobody else is. Just those kids.
Yeah, I swear the one was wearing a...
Why he has to be that way? Because he's such a terrible artist, the only way he can get work is by kissing their ass.
Opinions.
Does anybody else here disagree with that statement?
He's lost.
If it wasn't for the ridiculous proportions, I wouldn't dislike it that much. Because it reminds me a lot of the guy, the Manipul, that does Flash.
It all depends
right
on what...
And I like that. Oh, yeah. I think I could... I'd get that... You know that.
Over under.
Truthfully, I
don't get that lately.
I liked him on Amazing Spider-Man when he was drawing for Straczynski.
You know, I will say that I've liked him less and less as time goes on. Some of the older stuff he's done, I've read and been like,
I think you know what. Truthfully, you know.
And now it's like
I have no proof of this.
I feel the exact opposite. I think he's gotten better as time's gone on. I think as he defined his own style, he is more exciting to read.
I didn't hate his Amazing Spider-Man.
His own style is crap.
I think he did a good job for on Spider-Man.
I think it's awesome.
I also think I love
Kick-Ass. I love Spider-Man. I love anything he does.
Opinions were like buttholes. And
it comes out on time. It comes out on time, too.
You know what, though? I think...
Kick-Ass comes out on time?
All right.
Excuse me?
Okay, all right, all right.
I think for a lot of people in Marvel right now, and I have no proof of that, though, I think they're rushing their artists a little bit. I think they're rushing them on a lot of books to get a lot of books out.
I guess they're hiring a lot of Japanese artists now, right?
I guess my question is, why are they coming out with so much, you know, why did we have 3 issues of Avengers back-to-back-to-back? Spread them out, even every other week. That'll... cover you for some time, you know. That'll
and
give
if
you,
an
give
artist
you
has
buffer.
To draw that quick to do
yeah.
it, he
well, it's
is
been different artists, but you know that gives you a buffer, and they're like not taking that. One of the nice things with DC is knowing, you know, one a month, you know when they're coming, it's steady. You know, it's
yeah, a lot of times I forget. Feel what's going on.
Yeah, but now you're going to get that
interrupt the 5-story arc with a 0 issue.
Why is this cat so upset?
Right, but I'm thinking, like, it seems like forever since the last Captain America or the last Incredible Hulk.
I just kind of blank out the last Captain America.
Like, right, but I'm just saying now the ones that are shipping monthly seem late because some of them, you know, and it's...
I see what you're saying.
And when, you know,
well, why is Captain America Spider-Man out again this week?
Because they could. Because
it could.
See, you know what book really surprised me? And I actually thought it was the worst book of the launch. And now I think it's one of the better ones is X-Men Legacy.
I knew you were going to say that.
You and like 3 people that are reading it. Well, they killed themselves with that first issue, though.
It was.
It was a horrible first issue. And getting people to try, you know, if I read them all and say, hey, this is great, people are like, I tried one. I didn't like it. Hmm. Maybe I'll try it in the trade, which they won't.
You know, my biggest problem with Captain America is I don't know where they're going with it. I don't.
Messiah complex?
Yeah. Well, basically, yeah.
The Cap complex?
I just don't...
Cap Wolf. Oh,
I don't...
I've already been there.
I just don't understand what the point is. And, like, with Iron Man, at least well, I haven't read Iron Man, but what I hear is it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's something.
Well, I don't know. The end of that last issue, last arc, and now this is the new arc, and it's like, this is an AVX Fallout.
Yeah, tie-in.
Issue 6.
It's a tie-in, yes.
And he's got a God-Killer armor, and he's going to go to space with the Guardians.
Right.
Like, this feels like it should have been right after, because if it tied into that Avengers Assemble story where they were in outer space and teamed up with the Guardians.
Well, it is time. Just a little late.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you know why they're, you know, he's teaming up with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
So the book sells?
Because there's a movie coming out.
I'm still not excited for that.
Yeah, but supposedly Thanos is going to be an Avengers, and we have to have a book for it.
That's why they're trying.
I still don't hear you.
You have not read the book yet.
I'm not going to.
I thought this summer was Iron Man 4 and Thor 2.
3. Iron Man 3.
Yeah, yeah. Iron Man 3.
The Avengers was Iron Man 3.
That's true, actually.
Okay. So that was a great podcast.
We'll go home. We'll talk to you next week. You happy, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Than a bullet leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. My ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak. Like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops. My mixtapes still rock. They're in your system. That's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616.
Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now.